May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. O, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Thank you. rosary together from the Word of God, from the Acts of the Apostles, reading from chapter 2 and beginning to read from verse 17 to the end. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and beginning to read from verse 17 to the end. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, our God, merciful, kind and gracious unto us, we thank thee, Lord, once more that we are enabled to come into the sanctuary of thy house. O Lord, that we might come, with that desire, with that love for thy name, and with that spirit of prayer and praise and worship. O Lord, if we haven't got this, do grant it to us at this time, that we might be found before thee, and that we might, if it be thy gracious will, enjoy the mercies of the sanctuary. Oh, what a mercy it is to turn aside, to come to thy house of prayer, rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, Lord, to be found inside the sanctuary of thy house, and where thou art present with us and in the midst. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt pour forth thy Holy Spirit upon us, that we might partake of thy gospel grace this evening hour. And Lord, we're poor, we're needy, Lord, we're helpless, Lord. But Lord, we're hungry. What a mercy it is to have a hungering and a thirsting in our poor souls for thyself, and to feast upon thy name. And O Lord, that thou wouldest bless us with some handfuls of purpose for our souls, that our souls might live and live upon thee. And that we might be helped to continue and know what it is to receive at thy hand a little inward and spiritual strength, a building up in our souls, in spiritual and eternal realities. Do come, Lord, we pray thee, lift up our poor souls above the veil. May we feel that union and fellowship with thyself, May we know, Lord Jesus, what it is to seek Thee, Lord, in that singleness of heart and mind, and that we may be enabled, Lord, each one of us, to draw near and behold none but Jesus. Oh, may that be our mercy, Lord, this evening hour. Oh, do come and be present with us. Oh, we feel, Lord, continually and daily Thou knowest, and Thou hearest our prayers and our petitions, Lord, in respect of our sins and iniquities. Oh, Lord, day by day, and Lord, this day, no exception, Lord, sins in word, thought and deed. Oh, and Lord Jesus, we do thank Thee for such a Lord as Thy people, Lord, brought indeed to cry unto Thee in respect, Lord, of their sins, confessing, repenting. Oh, but Lord, we thank Thee, oh, that Thou hast made a provision for the poor sin-sick soul. Oh, in He indeed who became a blessing and a mercy unto Jesus. Oh, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, made a propitiation for our sins. And Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, do lift us up, Lord, above ourselves, above our own bad hearts, oh, Lord, we pray. Oh, and Lord, that we might be helped to draw near to Thee and know the mercies of the sanctuary. Be with us each, Lord, and undertake our case and need before Thee at this time. And Lord, as we have come into Thy house, oh, Thou hast heard our prayers and our petitions as we come together in the pews, those things that burden us, those things that try us, oh, and our many failings, Lord. And oh, we seek a lifting up of our hearts to Thee. And we seek, Lord, that Thou wilt come, Lord, and bless us with Thy presence and with Thy person and Thy merits, that our souls might live. So come to us, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy great love shown unto us at Calvary's tree. Oh, that love which, Lord, is a great love, greater love, hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. What a mercy, Lord, it is, for we were enemies. We were far from Thee, Lord. We were dead in our sins. But, oh, the mercy, Lord, to be friends, that Thou didst undertake our cause and interest. Thou didst look down upon us. Thou didst pardon all our sins. O Lord, we do pray that we may each be helped to render to Thee the praise and the blessing which is Thy due. O Lord, we feel to come so far short, Lord, in glorifying Thy name. O, we know, Lord, and do confess, and Lord, that we seem to come to the very end and close of a day, and then draw near to Thee. Lord, we seem to give Thee the small portion. Do look down upon us, Lord. Oh, enliven our poor hearts towards Thyself. Do grant to us, Lord, greater and larger communion. Oh, Lord, we pray, visit us, and let those visits longer be And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come and help us, that we might serve thee aright, that we might, Lord, in our poor and imperfect way, lift thee up and glorify thee in our walk and in our path, in our worship and in our conversation. Oh, do help us, Lord, in these things. Work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And so be with us, Lord, and help us and teach us to number our days, O Lord, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. O Lord, our days are with thee, the number of them. But, O Lord, we do know that many of us, Lord, have seen many days upon the earth. We do not know how many days, Lord, thou hast given to us, how many days that we may be spared. Oh, but, Lord, we do pray, help us to feel a little of that closer union with thyself. Help us, Lord, more and more to venture upon thee at the throne of grace, committing all our cause into thine ever merciful hands. And, Lord, look down upon us in all our own weakness and our insufficiency. And, Lord, our faintings, Lord, and, Lord, our doubts and our fears. But, Lord, we do pray, appear for us. Oh, keep us close unto thyself. Rule and reign in our hearts and lives. Teach us, Lord, all thy will here below. And help us, Lord, to walk out in that way and in that path that thou hast ordained for us here below. Lord, if it be a path, Lord, of affliction, a path of trial, a path of troubles and tribulations, a path, Lord, which is a path indeed of thorns and briars. Lord, we do pray, help us. Oh, give us grace, Lord, grace to continue, and grace, Lord, that we might be helped to fall into that submission to thy holy sovereign will in all things concerning us. But, Lord, grant a little lifting up of our souls unto thee, that we may know and realize, Lord, that thou art still with us. And, Lord, grant that we might be brought to see, Lord, that that path that thou hast ordained for us, thou wilt consume from us, Lord, all the dross, all the dung that is found with us, all the wood, the hay and the stubble. O Lord, that we might, Lord, as with thy servant Job, come forth as gold. O Lord, help us then to walk out that path. And pray, Lord, that we might realize thy visits towards us, to help us to continue in it. We do believe that thou didst appear to thy servant Job and grant him a little lifting up in his spirit. Oh, he was one truly afflicted. Not only did he lose all that he had, his family, servants, and his possessions, but also his afflicted body, and then his friends who seemed to aggravate his cause. But, Lord, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, Lord, thou didst come to him. Thou didst lift up his poor soul to the resurrection, to that glorious day when he should see thee as thou art, and behold thee, O, his faith in thy name, in thy person. O Lord, do grant those visits unto us, O, and that we might be blessed and know, Lord Jesus, that by and through thy precious blood that thou didst shed. Thou hast, Lord, made a way of mercy to heaven for poor, needy sinners. So, Lord, help us to continue, and, Lord, go before us in the way. Keep us unspotted from this world, from all its pleasures, from all its vanity. Oh, that we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. O Lord, be our helper, we pray, and that we might be those that shall truly press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, for each of thy sent servants and the proclamation of the gospel. O Lord, that gospel that was preached and saved many that we have read together, is that gospel still preached today? O, a day of grace, day of mercy, a day of salvation. O Lord, we pray that all indifference may be removed from our spirit, that we might be true seekers and seeking, Lord, to know that salvation through Jesus and his cross. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us here, that we may indeed be those truly drawn to thee, seeking, praying, pressing, urging our case at the throne of grace for that mercy through thy blood. O Lord, appear unto each and every one. Draw them by the cords of thy love unto thyself. And that each may be taught that they truly do bear with them and never dying an immortal soul. O that, Lord, that is most precious above all things, that if ye should gain the whole world and lose your own soul. O Lord, we do pray, put a need and a necessity upon the spirit of each ear, that they may be brought to see and feel their need of a Saviour and a Redeemer, to remove all their sin and defilement. And Lord, thou art able, Lord, to save unto the uttermost. Lord, we commit them unto thee. May the preaching of the gospel be so used this day, Lord, to gather sinners to thyself, and as we have read in thy word, as many as should be saved through the cross of Christ. Lord, as many as are ordained to eternal life, Lord, we do pray that this day, that there may indeed be many that shall be brought to see and feel their need of Jesus and bear testimony to his finished work at Calvary in their poor souls. Lord, help thy servants then proclaim the gospel, but, the harvest is great, Lord. The labourers are few. We prayerfully commit to thee, Lord, that thou wouldest raise up labourers for the vineyard, and that there may indeed in this dark and evil day in which we live a gathering, Lord. Lord, we commit these things prayerfully unto thee. Lord, remove any indifference. Lord, may there be in each one of us that true desire to seek and to serve thee in faith and in love to thy name. We pray for each of our chapels, Lord, and particularly in our denomination, Lord. We prayerfully commit them unto thee. Be merciful and gracious. Look down upon them. Some, Lord, with but ones and twos that gather together. Lord, encourage them. Increase their faith to look to thee, to call upon thy name. And, that thou wouldest, Lord, still remain open the doors And Lord, we pray for our homes, Lord, and we prayerfully commit all those that are residents there, the aged, the infirmed. O Lord, appear for them, appear for those who are the carers over them. These things we prayerfully commit to Thee. Lord, we pray, draw near to us now. Help us again to seek Thy face. Help Thy servant to speak in Thy name. The words of this life, may a precious Christ be revealed. O Lord, teach him by Thy Spirit, and grant a teachable spirit to Thy people here. And O Lord, those things that are spoken may be a blessing to each soul. Pray, Lord, pardon our every sin, and we ask these mercies in and through the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1016. God of my life, Thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led. Oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. 1016.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who would seek to draw your attention to the word that we read together in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, reading from verse 42. Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We have here revealed to us by and through Luke, who truly was one who witnessed the great mercies of God and was able to record them. And we have here recorded the gospel in its infancy, so blessedly and gloriously preached. And it is a gospel that had real and true effect upon the souls of many. It changed many. It brought many, indeed, to see and to feel their need of a Saviour. And it brought many from the pit of destruction, which was their deserving for all that they had done, all that they committed against the dear Lord Jesus. But there was mercy in the gospel. Remember one truth, that the Lord Jesus prayed upon the cross. He said, Father, forgive them for what they do, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. Oh, dear friends, he didn't hold anything against them, those wicked and dreadful hands. That did take him and crucify him. And he prayed for them. Dear friends, is it a prayer for each one of us here? We want to believe that it was, do we not? We want to come into the secret of God's love and mercy. We want to be brought to feel a need of Him. This is still the gospel that is being preached today, as it was 2,000 years ago. And the effect that it had through the Holy Spirit, how it changed them, how it broke them up, how they were brought to repent. What a mercy it is, dear friends, that we have this gospel preached today. And it is a gospel which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. When this gospel was here preached, I just want to open up a truth. When these wicked hands did take Jesus and crucified him, slain him, it was murder, dear friends. Jesus often spake that the Jews, that they would take him and kill him, crucify him, and that he would rise again the third day. But thou shalt not kill. Oh, God's holy and righteous law. How can that be honoured? How can it be fulfilled? These wicked hands crucified him. And remember, if it wasn't literally by their hands, it was in their hearts. As good as done in their hearts. Paul was one also, as he was Saul of Tarsus. He stood over the stoning of Stephen. And dear friends, that stoning would be laid to his charge. The life of Stephen was taken. And Saul of Tarsus looked upon it. It was in full agreement with his awful nature. His approbation was upon it all. What was the difference, dear friends? Paul says, I did it ignorantly, but oh, God's mercy. Jesus came, he fulfilled the law in us and made it honourable. And that is the mercy today. And see the awful state, the awful condition they were in, the awful nature that they held. But Jesus is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. There is mercy then through Jesus and his cross. Just want to open up one or two truths in respect of this. This approximately 3,000 souls saved in one time, all brought into a saving grace of the dear Lord Jesus, all brought to feel their need as sinners. But see the fulfillment of God's word in respect of these here that were saved and redeemed. It said, and they continued steadfastly. They, who are these? They. We want to be found one of these. And they, these are those whom God loved, dear friends. We spake of it this morning. These were going to know the truth and the blessing that they were the people of God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, just think of that change. These are they. They are now the sheep of his pasture. But they were those, dear friends, who a little earlier had taken him and crucified him. Oh, this is grace, isn't it? Grace, sovereign grace, free love and mercy of our God, that he should come to these, but that he should come to any one of us. That is the mercy, isn't it? That he should have anything to do with any one of us. For we also were dead in trespasses and in our sins. And dear friends, whatever our sins may have been, whatever these sins here were, these hands that crucified him, sin is sin. Whatever nature it might be in, it is sin, and it is abhorrent to God. And the just desert of all sin is destruction, dear friends. But Jesus came to redeem our souls from destruction. The And this is the wonderment of these here, and they, now the sheep of God's pasture, the fold of His grace, and now they seek and enjoy union, one with each other. But there are those doctrines that I want to just make mention of, that we should embrace, that we should cleave to, that we should steadfastly to lay hold upon them. It was these doctrines that were preached into their souls. The doctrines of free grace. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles, those that were raised up by Jesus to preach His gospel. And through that preaching, that there might be those who would be blessed with hearing ears and understanding hearts and brought to feel their need of Jesus. Now there were those here that heard and were blessed in their souls, and they were saved. Saved by grace. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What was it that was preached into their souls, dear friends? It was the doctrine of sin. Oh, small word, dear friends. Eternal death and destruction hanging upon it. To each and every one that remain in their sins and iniquities. It is a solemn matter, dear friends. But Jesus came and He exposed sin. He revealed sin for what it was. Unless ye likewise repent, they should perish. Oh, that is a solemn truth, dear friends. But this doctrine of sin was preached, and it was preached with power by Peter. He opened up the truth of their hearts. And the Lord applied it to them. And that is a blessing. Men and brethren, what must we do? What shall we do? May the Lord, as sin may be constantly preached in this pulpit, may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, take of those things and apply them to our hearts. The blessing of redemption is eternal life. The solemn truth that these things are removed from us. Is eternal destruction. Then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. These words here, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers, they seem to be the order of the church, do they not? The order and the manner of our worship. And it is here in this first church here that is shown to us. And we have first the doctrine of repentance and baptism. Friends, do not let us ignore this. Jesus came and put the approbation of heaven upon baptism at the baptizing of John. It was this baptizing of John. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was sinless. But it was the approbation of heaven, dear friends, upon baptism. And in other words, it is a commandment. When the disciples were sent out to preach, or they were going to be sent out to preach, Jesus gave them this word. He came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Then it is a commandment, dear friends. I just speak like this because of recently again, and it seems to occur so often, of those that seem to either despise it or reject it. Baptism, you see. Are we ashamed of Jesus? Are we ashamed of this doctrine? Jesus passed through the waters of baptism to show to us an example. It is a doctrine, dear friends, that Jesus has commanded to follow in. And what a mercy it is to come to that true repentance. It is a gift of God. Jesus is exalted to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. It is a glorious and a blessed truth, dear friends, to pass through those waters of baptism. It is one of the most gracious and blessed truths for a poor sinner to come acknowledging their sins, but bearing testimony to the saving grace of Jesus, what Jesus came to do for their souls. Ashamed of Jesus soon afar? No. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We have the doctrine of sin then. We have the doctrine of repentance. We have the doctrine of baptism. What a mercy it is to come to these blessed truths. And then we have one or two more doctrines which are most precious to us, dear friends. Just mention these doctrines, but we must observe also that doctrine is teaching. This is our doctrine, dear friends. This is where God is revealed to us in all his love and mercy. The doctrine of the scriptures, the written and the incarnate word. Friends, let us never be without it. Just thinking of that word that, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Isn't that a mercy? Paul writing to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We have his word. We may just refer to this in a moment. But they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, dear friends, being brought to understand the blessing of the pardon and the forgiveness of sin is a most glorious and a blessed truth. That Jesus came to pardon crimson sins, all our sins, whatever sins were. Jesus came to heal, he came to cleanse, he came to save and to redeem. And this is the mercy that we have today. The pardon and the forgiveness of sin. And it is through his work of mediation. Just thinking of a word in respect of this in Ephesians. And it is a beautiful doctrine, dear friends. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh, this redemption through the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, the doctrine of the cross, dear friends, most glorious doctrine. Read the 53rd of Isaiah. See there, dear friends, that word that was opened up to the poor soul of that Ethiopian eunuch. Where did it begin, dear friends? It began in verse 7, if I'm remembering rightly. And Philip preached unto him Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Oh, dear friends, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Philip preached from that verse and opened up the Scriptures concerning Jesus and him crucified. Dear friends, the Lord opened that dear man's heart to see the blessedness of his salvation, the pardon of all his sins. What was the blessing in respect of that preaching of Philip? It was this, dear friends, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. This was his humiliation, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The doctrine of the cross. And then this truth, that precious blood that Jesus shed to cleanse and to heal and to give pardon and peace to the conscience and reconciliation unto God the Father. The blessed and glorious truth of the doctrine of adoption, belonging to God. Oh, to be one of God's children, dear friends. Oh, cannot think of anything more blessed and glorious. To be one of God's dear children. The children of his grace. The children of his love. The children of his mercy. And not forgetting in the doctrine, dear friends, what God has done and prepared for all them who have been brought into the wondrous truth of this adoption. Why, heaven belongs to them. Eternal life belongs to them. What a doctrine that is, dear friends. We've got a hope, friends, beyond the grave. You see, we're all coming to the grave, but we've got a hope beyond the grave. Is it not a blessing? It must be. That was where their hope was fixed. And what is it, dear friends? Why, they stand whole and complete in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. It was the grand work of imputation. God the Father laid all our sins upon the person of his dearly beloved Son, and he bare them all away. And Jesus, in his perfect sacrifice and obedience to God the Father, the work that he came to do, wrought out for the church a glorious robe of righteousness. Oh, their naked soul, dear friends, covered. Forever, that robe of righteousness can never be removed from the soul of a poor sinner. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Oh, what a doctrine is this, dear friends. May we embrace these truths. They belong to the poor sinner. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then they continued to live by faith upon him. Faith to serve him. Faith to keep his word and his sayings. And it is a wonderful truth that, because a blessing was shown in respect of it. When Jesus finished preaching that glorious sermon on the mount, what was the words that he finally closed with? It was those that would keep his sayings in their hearts. And these are the sayings, dear friends, their faith in the scriptures, their faith in his word. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Steadfast, dear friend, they held steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, because, friends, what were they building for? Their never-dying souls. That was what they were building for. Keeping his sayings, they were establishing their souls in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And Jesus, this is the truth. You see, whatever troubles, whatever distresses, whatever our path, whatever may be found in our path, but to hold these doctrines, his word and his truth, it's the security of the soul, isn't it? It was in that rock, dear friends, Christ Jesus. This is the doctrine. And it refers to all the commandments, the statutes, the precepts. Just read that Sermon on the Mount, dear friends. You might see some difficult things in there, which you may feel unable to keep. Well, dear friends, look to the word. We've got to pray for our enemies. Pray for those that hate us. Think about it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We shall have to move on. And fellowship. This is one of the most glorious truths of the gospel. They were all drawn together. They all came by one way. What was that way that they all came by? Today, same way. They all come together. Fellowship, union, communion, one with each other. They all came through the cross of Jesus, dear friends. Everyone. And this fellowship, it is an important word. It is brethren dwelling together in the unity of the Spirit, in the bonds of love and peace. They have all come together. They have all been blessed with redeeming love and blood. And what is the main blessing in respect of this fellowship? They're of one heart, one mind, or one faith and one love. And friends, they have a union together, a fellowship together. And dear friends, it may be included in our prayers that we pray for one another. We seek each other's good. We bear each other's burdens. We inquire for each other. We seek each other's good and prosperity spiritually. You see, this is the fellowship. This is the union. And it's fellowship. And what is it? It's love, dear friends. And it's spiritual. It's a bond, dear friends, that can never be severed and never can be broken. This fellowship and this union, a bond that can never be broken. Now, dear friends, this love should always be towards each other. We may understand that we've each got failings and shortcomings. We each do things differently. We're not all alike. We have different ideas and different opinions about different matters. But friends, it mustn't be held against each other in respect of that. Not at all. Paul and Barnabas had a great contention. And it was great. It separated them. A great contention. But it didn't break this bond of love between them. It could not have done that. They went their separate ways, yes. Whether they came and met together again, I do not know. Some seem to think they did. But that love and that bond of love between them was never broken. And neither should it be. Paul was one that practiced what he preached. And Paul preached this truth. And it is a truth for us today. Though contentions may be great amongst us, we have this truth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then this truth, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Oh, to walk in this love, dear friends. Do not let these differences come between and separate. It is better to be wrong, dear friends, than to let this love and this relationship be severed. Suffer wrong, dear friends. Suffer wrong. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, brethren dwelling together. And what a mercy it is that they watch for each other, they care for each other, they pray for each other, they do for each other. And this is the fellowship, this is the union. And this is the union and communion of saints together. And then this truth. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Friends, it must be encouraged. Oh, there needs to be some spiritual conversation. You see, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. They speak of the things of Jesus. They speak of their deliverances. They speak of the mercies of the Lord. They speak of what the Lord has done for them. Oh, we mustn't fear to speak of the Lord and what he has done. What he has done for our souls. They speak to each other. And fellowship. And then it's a blessing, dear friends, that God in his rich mercy has come into this locality and there's a fellowship here. It is a church and a church order, dear friends, and it is God in his rich love and mercy that has brought about this wonderful fellowship and union of men and women together. It is, dear friends. It is a people that have been set apart, separated from this world, dear friends. And, friends, we have an understanding and we have a knowledge, dear friends, of those things that are spiritual and eternal, those things that are contained in the scriptures of truth. We have a knowledge, dear friends, of what it is to come together, to worship and to serve the Lord, to praise and bless his name together in union and fellowship, brethren dwelling together. And we have it here at Swavesey. It is by the Lord's rich mercy that it is so. And savour it, dear friends, and thank the Lord for it. And in breaking of bread, I spoke of baptism, and I spoke of baptism purposely as one of those doctrines most precious. But then the breaking of bread, and it does mean of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. And dear friends, when any poor needy sinner has been drawn to the cross of Jesus and the Holy Spirit has shown to them that Jesus suffered, bled and died for them, then this is a wonderful truth, dear friends, that not only shall they pass through the waters of baptism, but that they shall partake of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and eat of the bread which is a symbol of his body and drink of the wine which is the precious blood that he shed for the remission of sins. Jesus has commanded this. Do this in remembrance of me. I forgot to mention that he also is that one that ordered this fellowship and union of the church together. And just make mention of that because I did begin to say that they are commandments of the Lord and they are commandments of the Lord. But you see, this union and this fellowship is such an important truth, loving one another, forgiving one another. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A commandment of the Lord, brethren together, but this also, do this in remembrance of me. It is one of the most blessed and glorious privileges of our God to come to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and to partake of the bread and the wine. Because, dear friends, we cannot come into those awful sufferings that the Lord Jesus passed through, that our poor souls might be saved and redeemed and have life spiritual and eternal through him. A wonderful truth, dear friends. And to come and to remember him, which he has bidden us to do, is one of the high favours of heaven, dear friends. We may be unworthy, dear friends, and I have often felt to be unworthy to come to that table, but Jesus, indeed, through his sufferings and death, swallowed up all our unworthiness. Dear friends, it was guilty, ruined sinners, it was the harlots, it was the publicans. They came to Jesus and sat at his table. He received them at his table. And they were guilty, guilty of sins. And dear friends, we come to this table, yes. But we are friends made complete in him, and we must never forget that. A woman once said to my wife, when she was first baptized, she had to go and see the vicar. She said, "I'm not worthy to come and sit round that table, at the ordinance table." She said, "I wasn't worthy." We mustn't think that is a grace, dear friends, because I thought it was graceless. The vicar said, "I understand what you mean. I don't. Jesus took upon himself all our unworthiness, dear friends, at his cross. And we're worthy through him. It's not what we might feel. We might feel unworthy. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be, may not be like that. But it's to remember him and the awful cost, what he paid to become a ransom for our souls, to save us and redeem us, and to remember him, the body, the life that he laid down, the wounds, the bruises. We cannot come into it, dear friends. Most awful, the experience of it was brought down, as it were, into that hell, the hell that we were deserving. Jesus suffered a likeness of that hell in his sufferings and death. Friends, we can only come into a portion of that. We know that it was for our sins and our iniquities. And then the precious blood that he shed. And to remember, dear friends, it was to put away our sins forever. And this is a doctrine to be observed as oft as ye can. And in breaking of bread, may we often remember the dear Lord Jesus when coming to the ordinance table, that it was for our sins and our iniquities. And we see the love of Jesus in the bread and in the wine. We see the love of Jesus to sinners. We see the life that he laid down. And we see the salvation and eternal life that he gave us in the breaking of that bread. That heaven belongs to us, dear friends, in the breaking of that bread and the drinking of that wine, those symbols that we partake of. Heaven is in them. We mustn't make any mistake about that. As oft as ye can, and in prayers. Prayer is one of the glorious branches of all real and true worship. And it is another commandment of the Lord that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And this is one of the glorious truths attached to this fellowship that we've spoken of, prayer. Just mention three types of prayers. And friends, the throne of grace has been opened up for poor needy sinners, those that feel their need of Jesus. And we have our great high priest above, who ever liveth to make intercession for us, to plead our cause before God the Father. It's his merits and his person and what he has done for sinners at Calvary. The prayers of the saints are sweet odour of a smell before God the Father, because they're through Jesus. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Dear friends, a poor sinner communicating with the God of heaven, our God and our Father, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, dear friends. This is to say his flesh. Through Jesus, the poor needy sinner can call upon their God all their need, all their concerns, lay all before him. There will be public prayer. And friends, the prayers that have been offered up in this God's house, the Lord hears and receives prayers and petitions. It will be a prayer for the continuity of worship and devotion to him in this place. It will be a prayer unto God that he will, in his rich mercy, gather yet more into that bundle of life in Christ Jesus. Prayers for the ingathering of sinners. It will be prayers in respect of the needs of God's house here. And it will be prayers that they should glorify God, come to him with all their needs, all our complaints, all our troubles, all the things that try us. Prayer. And public prayer. A wonderful truth. A great branch of worship. Then there will be our prayers and petitions in our homes, the morning and the evening sacrifices. I just made mention of this to our young people this afternoon. To pray to God always, morning and evening. You know, he blesses us with so many mercies and goodnesses each day and each night. Let us not forget his loving kindnesses towards us, and then his faithfulness at the end of the day, that he is faithful. He cares for us, he keeps us, he provides for us, he supplies all our needs, he gives to us an intellect for our business and our workplace. He has given it to us. Let us not forget him, the morning and the evening sacrifices. And then, friends, there will be those prayers closet prayers, personal prayers, prayers when we come upon our knees in a very real and personal way. It might be our sins, dear friends. It might be the way that we're brought to pass through. It might be that there be troubles that burden us. Closet prayer. To come before the Lord. And then let us never forget the gospel according to John chapter 17. The prayer of intercession. To pray for one another. Let us never forget that. We always have the sick amongst us. We always have those that are in need amongst us. We always have those, dear friends, who we earnestly seek that the Lord will show his mercy in salvation to. The prayer of intercession. Jesus prayed for his disciples and he prayed for his church. As well, at that same time, the disciples were a type of the church. And he prayed then for us. And it is a wonderful prayer. The 17th chapter of John. Read it at your leisure. Pray that you might be inside of that prayer. And then it is an example for our prayers and our petitions unto the Lord. So we have these blessings here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And I just want to close with this truth. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And dear friends, this is the church only. All things common. They were of one heart, one mind, love, faith, unity. And dear friends, they were all those that loved the doctrine of the scriptures of truth. May we be those also that shall often take this word, friend, and pray over the Holy Spirit in respect of it, that the Lord would apply it to our souls. You know, it is a mercy when the Lord will come to his ministers and give them a word to preach in his pulpits. And I've had to thank the Lord, and I thank him each and every time that I've preached his gospel. I go home and I thank him that he has given me a word to preach and the ability to preach it through his Spirit. The scriptures of truth. Friends, this is the most precious book that anyone could ever read into as by the Holy Spirit. And friends, may we be encouraged to take this word, the scriptures of truth, all things common. These are the words of eternal life. And we'll just close on that doctrine, his resurrection. Because, dear friends, there will be a resurrection day for us. A great day when the Lord will appear again. We shall see him and behold him as he is. A resurrection morning. Body and soul come together. Or we may be alive when he comes. And we shall be raised up together with those that are born out of the graves. And, dear friends, this is our hope. This is the doctrine that we embrace in our poor souls, and that it shall be well with us in that day. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Stephen Hyde next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 158. Sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing, from the sinner's dying friend. May I sit for ever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. 158.
Thank you.
we do pray that thou wilt bless the services of thy house this day and all that has been attended to in thy name. We pray that thou wilt be honoured and glorified amongst us. Pray pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Go before us in this week that has now begun. Conduct us each in thy love and fear. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.